Well, hello, Haunters. This is a bonus episode. You may have noticed that I'm dropping a lot of bonus episodes here at the end of 2020. And the reason for that is because A, you might have a little bit more time to listen. And B, because all of these episodes have to do with planning, starting the planning process of your haunt. This is a rebroadcast from this week's episode of Haunt Weekly. And if you have already listened to that episode, you feel free to just skip this. We'll be keeping our regular Tuesday and Thursday schedule through January, and beginning in January, we're going to bring you some education and vendor previews for the upcoming HauntCon show so you can plan out what you're going to do when the show is actually happening. All right, so this episode that I am playing for you from Haunt Weekly is all about simulated violence in haunts. And I think that the hosts do a really good job of breaking down the difference between implicit and explicit violence and discussing the need to give some sort of content advisory for your attraction. Now, the reason I think this is important is because a lot of the entertainment that we do has to do with setting expectations and making sure that people are having fun. And the hosts do a good job of explaining, giving a lot of reasons as to why some people enjoy violence and some people do not. And the whole point here is just to make you aware when you're planning of what type of violence are we going to have in our haunt. Is it explicit? Is it implicit? Where are we going to go? Where's the line? And how does that fit with our consumers? And then how do we put that into some sort of content warning so that before people get to the experience, before they even buy tickets, they know what they have signed up for. So that aligns the expectations of the guests. So it's not a spoiler thing. It's a thing that has to do with aligning the expectation of what sort of content the guest is going to come in contact with. Enjoy the show.
First, let's get into the definitions. What are we talking about?
Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri. That's eight.
I can see your wheels starting over there.
I got up to eight, it's God damn it.
It's like, you got quiet, and when you're quiet, you're thinking.
That's when I'm dangerous.
Exactly.
Sorry. Explicit versus implicit. Definitions. Explicit basically means it is happening in front of the viewer. It is not, it is something they are actively witnessing.
Right.
If, you know, think of it like if I, you know, in front of you, punch someone in the face.
Yeah.
That is an explicit act of violence from your perspective because you saw the act of violence.
Right.
If I punch someone in the face and you come up to them later and see the black eye or see that they're on the ground going, what happened?
Yeah.
That is implicit. You can figure out violence happened. You
right.
might even be able to picture the violence in your head.
Some of us.
Some of us. I mean, poor Ellie. But you cannot, but you did not actually witness it firsthand.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's the Russell Horror guys talked about, you know, pretending to snap a victim's neck.
Yes.
Or hold them up against the wall. And I'm like, I've never seen that in a haunt.
And the few things we have seen of explicit violence have been relatively mild.
Yeah.
I can think of people being grabbed and shoved. I can think of things like that. But it's arguable whether or not that's actively violence.
Yeah, I think the only one that I can remember is someone being dragged away by like the yeah. hair.
Well, and we've seen like on the trail haunt at Rise,
mm-hmm.
girl getting dragged, and so. But once again, the actual violence unto her is implicit, literally covered with a smoke screen.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the things you have to discuss is what do we consider violence for the purpose
right.
of explicit versus implicit? Because we've seen a lot, actually. I'm pretty sure we've seen a lot of people, a lot of actors being grabbed and pulled and even dragged.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than we're remembering.
Probably.
But when you get into the actual, quote unquote, blood and guts of it.
Yeah. I mean,
that starts to taper off in the number you've seen.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, most of the violence that I remember is implicit because there are people in cages, there are people with bruises, there are people pleading for help.
There are people who have prosthetic limbs and fake limbs that are like, ah, they cut off my arm. And,
yeah, exactly.
Or with nasty gashes or someone crawling around like they've been cut in half. You know, you see those types of things.
Yeah, you see that and then you see the villain who's in the room and then that villain threatens the customer.
Yeah.
With that same type of violence.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, basically, you know, implicit violence is much, much more common in haunted houses for a lot
right.
of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest reason I can think of is that it's simply easier to do. Easier on the actor, easier on the haunt owner.
Safer.
Safer. It's simply much, much easier to do. Now, that said, explicit violence does have its pros.
Yeah.
It intensifies the quote-unquote realness of a scene.
Right.
If you do it well.
Yes.
If you do it poorly, it wrecks it.
Well, then I'm just going to laugh at you.
Yeah. Because if you get stabbed in the neck, or if you get stabbed in the lower back and you're holding your head like, you know, you got hit there, it's just, you're going to look ridiculous.
Right.
And I think I have actually seen exactly that happen before in a haunt where someone got, but then again, the stabbing in the back was implicit because you couldn't see the knife going in, or you couldn't even really tell that he was motion, but other than a motion toward the back. So
right.
You could still argue that was implicit violence.
Yeah.
Because you're not actually witnessing the violent act. You're witnessing the aftermath of it more than the actual act itself. But it can really intensify the realness if you do it well and you are trying to go for that most intense possible. Being explicit about it can be a way to really up the ante.
Yeah. And it's easier for the audience to believe that the villain could do this violence to them because they just watched it. They don't have to imagine it. They know what this villain's capable of because they just saw it.
Yeah. Once again, if you do it well.
Yes.
It is harder to do well is one of the challenges that we're going to get to. And also, like, it has shock value. It is something that is going to surprise people because it's not something seen a lot in haunt. Yeah. It's not something seen a lot in movies, if you think about it anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
other than, like, hard R horrors.
Yeah, even the two extreme haunts that we've been to didn't use explicit violence.
They used contact with customer. They were full touch haunts or partial touch haunts at the very least. But the actual content, the violent content, was on par with everything else.
Yeah. Well, then for the second one, we were blindfolded on a truck, so everything was implicit.
Yeah. There is nothing explicit at all about this haunt. I mean, literally, they just walked us around an undecorated room for 15 minutes and let us out.
I know.
And tussled our hair and let us out.
I know.
Bastards. And I'm pretty... Wish I thought that.
Yeah, I'm pretty Smart sure that bastards. Ellie would have been so bored because she wouldn't have been picturing anything.
Yeah.
You know?
She would have been doing the conga line because we were all on a little conga line. Da, 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 da. I can't imagine anything. I can't imagine anything.
Yeah, we should have been live for this.
We should have been live for this.
See this.
She would be coming out here to kick our ass, honestly.
Yeah.
We're not making it to the 21st anniversary, Crystal. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Anyway.
But still, the point is, there is a sense of shock value to it because it is something so rarely seen. And it does, and it is a huge spike in intensity, once again, if done right.
Right.
Now, the cons, I think, largely outweigh the pros.
Yeah.
The big con, and the one that always should be first, is someone can get hurt. This is a stunt job.
Yeah.
If you're going to do – it's usually a stunt job. Now, there are ways to do explicit violence that's less stunty.
Right.
Like you can have – and we've actually seen the old trope of the person in the table with a cutaway and pulling the guts out.
Yeah.
But once again, they – had their guts ripped open and
everything before you got to them.
You're just seeing the aftermath of the violence. You're seeing the most explicit part is the continuation of that violence, perhaps.
Right.
Because I think you were that type of victim for a time, weren't you?
Yeah, the first haunt.
Yeah.
First haunt.
Yeah,
you second job at the first haunt.
Yeah, it was a job where you rotated positions a lot.
Yeah, well, so apparently I was too scary as a guide. To follow
that.
People.
Oh, yeah. You are sus. You are sus as fuck. Okay. Sus as fuck. That's your new shirt now.
Okay, fine.
No, it's not.
We'll do that. We could do that.
No, no one would buy that.
No. But yeah, no. People have always been scared of me. Just naturally. Yeah.
Well, and it's weird because it's because you're both quiet and normal look, quote unquote. Hyper normal looking.
Yeah, it's a cover. You can tell that the normal is not real.
You can tell the normal is not real. Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody can see through that, but they don't know what the abnormal is.
Exactly. So it puts people off.
Yeah. But no, if you're going to do anything that is the equivalent of a stunt, You've got to understand people can get hurt.
Yeah.
This calls for a much higher level of training, something we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you don't think people can get hurt doing stunts, just look at wrestling.
Yeah.
Some of those injuries are not kayfabe.
Yeah, wrestling is all about the explicit violence.
Yeah.
Because every match is nothing but explicit violence. It's done safely. Mm-hmm. It's done very controlled. But it is explicit violence upon explicit violence upon explicit violence.
Yeah.
Now, it's not explosive bloody violence, usually.
Right.
Usually.
I think AEW's brought some of that back.
AEW has brought some of that back. But then again, supposedly WWE had a match where someone put their eye out. So that was a thing.
Did they have their eyes the next week?
Yeah, they were able to reattach it.
Oh, well, okay.
Apparently, that was a kayfabe injury. But still. but yeah, you have to be warned. This is something that can cause injuries, and it's very difficult to do safely.
Mm-hmm.
It also will appeal to a smaller audience.
Right. Yeah, you're going to eliminate some customers if you do explicit
violence.
People
that are comfortable taking their kids to a haunt with implicit violence may not be comfortable taking them to one with explicit. People
right.
who are comfortable viewing implicit violence themselves may not be comfortable viewing explicit violence. You wrap up that, because we talked about previously the Goldilocks zone of fear.
Right.
And this is one of the things you have to understand, is that haunts are meant to be fun.
Yeah.
These are supposed to be fun.
Entertaining.
And the studies that, including 2020, studies about fear and the enjoyment of said fear talk about how there's a Goldilocks zone. It's like a bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a point where you get your heart rate and your adrenaline up, but you know you're safe, like a roller coaster
right.
or on a attraction, and that's fun.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is that not only will you appeal to a smaller audience, you may also appeal to a smaller staff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people may not want to work in an explicit haunt.
Yeah. And especially if there's going to be any kind of stunt work or physical danger to them.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And that's very true. It's going to be harder to find people to do that. It's much easier to train someone to scream help and, you know, pretend to be a victim of violence that happened to them previously
right.
than it is to be to train them to be someone that has violence enacted up, fake violence enacted upon them.
Right.
It's much, much different.
Mm-hmm.
There is the risk that customers with various PTSD triggers could be more strongly impacted by this.
Right.
A lot of customers that are maybe able to deal with and not be impacted by implicit violence may be impacted by explicit violence.
Yeah.
The further up that scale you push and the more intense you push your violence, the further you get into potentially activating PTSD and other conditions like it.
Right. And, you know, and especially if you're trying to do a realistic haunt with realistic characters, human
yeah.
characters. I mean, if you've got, you know, I don't know, Gorgons or something, maybe it wouldn't be as triggery, but I don't know. I can't speak for people with that type of PTSD.
Yeah, that's not something either of us have. Once again, it's better for us to bring someone else on and discuss
yeah.
that. But yeah, the pros. Now, when you're dealing with implicit violence, relates to what most haunts do for most of their product,
right?
It appeals to a broader audience and it's generally considered family friendly. I'm not exactly sure why it's more family friendly, but it is the perception.
It is. And, you know, I'm not sure why either, because you're still seeing violence, but I mean, it's like at a sometimes not even an R rating.
Yeah.
You know, if we were, we're not using those standards for haunts, but if we were,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, and it, like watch like a PG-13 horror. You know, you'll see people will die. The body count will probably be just as high as an R-rated horror most of the
right.
time. But the actual killing will take place off camera or will be implied through other
yeah.
means. Much like the shower scene in Psycho.
Right.
You never actually see her get stabbed other than shadows.
Right. Yeah. And you don't really see a lot of gore in those types of
no.
movies either. And you don't – a lot of haunts don't use a lot of gore other than like butcher scenes where animals have been butchered.
Yeah. And, you know, compare, though, like, that scene from Psycho, like I just mentioned,
yeah.
to the scene from Terrifier, mm-hmm. where the woman is sawed in half.
Right.
And if you haven't seen Terrifier, there's a scene where a woman's sawed in half. And, and I'm not going to give you any further details because I don't want to ruin the scene.
Yeah.
Right now, it's probably, I probably haven't said too much yet.
Right.
I'm not saying how she got sawed in half, which is the important bit.
Yeah.
Those are two very different scenes in terms of how they impact and scare and startle. The Terrifier sequence, you're horrified by the violence.
Right.
You're horrified by the gore and the violence. And Psycho, you're scared by the psychological horror of it.
Exactly.
It's all in your head.
Yep.
So to speak. So that's a very, very different system there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so yeah, it'll appeal to a broader audience. It's more family friendly. You're less likely to get hurt pretending to be a victim of previous violence.
Right.
Than actively having to take a violent attack mid scene.
Yeah, exactly.
And it honestly, I think, depending upon the customer, it actually might impact them more because it lets them come up with what happened to that person.
Yeah.
And some people have some messed up answers on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned yeah. that.
Yeah. Well, so that's very true because my brain is a weird place, as some of you might have guessed.
Yeah.
So my answer might be completely different. It might be use all the tools in the room, not yeah. just one.
And finally, it's less likely to trigger PTSD.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a positive thing. It's not necessarily never going to trigger it.
Right.
But honestly, someone who has PTSD triggers that can be activated by implicit violence like that probably wouldn't be going to a haunted house in the first place.
Yeah.
But they might not be anticipating the explicit violence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the big con on it is yeah, it you don't feel as unsafe. You don't feel as scared because whatever happened already happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So. You know, you're just showing up after the fact. You're, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you do want to include more explicit violence, simulated violence in your haunt, here's a few things to consider. First, make sure that your actors are taught by trained professionals.
Yes.
And that this is well practiced. I would consider looking at local wrestling schools.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to go.
How to throw the whatever the attack is,
yeah.
How to sell said attack, and how to fall without injuring yourself. I mean, unless you're in L.A., you don't really have like a stunt academy or anything you can go to, but you probably have a wrestling school, some professional wrestling school somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
And they can help with that.
And there are also fake fighting courses at like theater schools.
Yeah.
Schools with theater departments will have, you know, how to do this kind of
yeah.
fake fighting. So, and I was trying to find another one too.
Okay.
SCA.
Okay.
The Society
for Creative. Oh, yeah, the Renaissance Society, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they start out, they do go into real fighting with, you know, fake weapons, but
yeah.
They could also do that kind of staged impromptu stuff. So,
yeah, could be very, very useful indeed. And I forgot to mute my computer when I came out here.
Great. Yeah.
I can tell I'm on the ball today. Regardless. So, yeah, I think wrestling schools and SCA and all that's a great thing to consider if you aren't in a major acting town and don't have like an actual stunt school.
Right.
But, available to you. If you're going to include it, you have to make sure to place it in your promotional material.
Yeah. And remember that if you are going to do it, actor comfort and safety is crucial to your business.
Yes.
Do not forget that.
Yeah, you can't go through actors willy-nilly.
No, because there's a limited supply, as we all know.
Yeah. And you said in the notes, consider marketing yourself as an extreme haunt. I don't know if maybe that's the approach, because the extreme haunt angle seems to be more about what they do to you
mm-hmm.
than what you see. But then again, I think the term extreme haunt has been watered down and...
Yeah, well, and I think we need different terms.
Yes, and we'll get to more of that in a minute. I put some of that...
Good. I was hoping you would.
because the challenge here is that we, as an industry, need to find a way to relay what content we have in our haunt.
Right.
And this is something we're terrible at. And the reasons for this are legion. We want parents to be able to make informed decisions about what their kids see.
Right.
We want people with various psychological triggers and conditions to make an informed decision about what they are going to expose themselves to.
Right. And I mean, you know, this is something.
We don't want people to put themselves in a situation where they don't have fun.
Exactly. And where they are actively stressed out or put into a bad ad space because of our haunt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about fireworks because they've been going off every day for a week here.
Welcome to New Orleans in Christmas time.
Yeah. And veterans who have PTSD from being in combat zones.
Yeah.
I mean, if your haunt employs, you know, military costumes, guns, loud bangs, all of that stuff could trigger someone, and that person might have, you know, skills to fight.
Yeah, and it might not go well.
Yeah.
For anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't to say you can't have those things in your haunt.
No.
That's not the point.
No.
Now, the point's not to say these are bad things and you shouldn't do it, and that's something I want to make absolutely clear. Uh-huh. For the most part, I'm someone that believes you should have what you want in your haunt. This is your artistic vision. You do what you want. Just make sure your customers are consenting to it when they walk in the door. If they're walking in the door expecting it's going to be all crank ghosts and optical illusions, and they're getting a traumatic gore fest with PTSD triggers left and right, that's not good. They're not going to have fun, and that's going to hurt not just your haunt, but the entire industry, because that person is never going to another haunted house again.
Right.
Where previously they might have been able to go to other haunts or been willing to go to other haunts. Now, no, screw that. They're not coming back.
Yeah.
They're done as a customer. It's over.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is, like, we do this terribly. I've only seen one or two haunts that had any kind of content warning other than the health risks.
Exactly.
Like, usually when I see content warnings, it's tied to health risks. And it's like, we use strobe light, so if you have photosensitive epilepsy, don't come in. Okay, well, that's a good warning.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I don't have that issue. I don't really care. I mean, I'm not a fan of strobe lights, but it's just because I'm not a fan of strobe lights.
Yeah. If you're pregnant, don't come in.
Yeah, don't come in.
Or heart issues.
Don't come in. But, yeah, those warnings are fine and good, but they're not content warnings usually.
Well, and I think that's part of societal changes is that, you know, we've been aware of physical ailments that could be, you know, affected going through haunts or on thrill rides for a long time. But the emotional and mental health of customers now needs to come into focus.
Yeah. And so, and we don't have a rating system, though. It's one of the challenges.
Right.
Like, video games and movies have a rating system. And sadly, we can't just, like, borrow theirs.
No.
Due to trademark reasons. Literally, I found this out. This is a bit of trivia here, but the MPAA rating system is trademarked. Now, the X rating was the rating was the only thing they didn't trademark. They never trademarked the X rating because the idea was that's what you put on a movie that the MPAA hasn't rated.
Yeah.
So an X-rated film originally wasn't necessarily pornographic. It was just this film did not get sent to the MPAA for certification, meaning you don't know. It could be just about anything, right? But that got co-opted by the pornographic film industry, and then it became XXX and all that stuff, and it went off the rails. And so then the MPAA went and got NC-17 as the rating for adult content that they did actually certify as such.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. So the MPAA and the ESB, Electronics Software Board, blah, 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 blah.
Words went away.
Yes, they did. Ratings are both trademarked.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use those. But I think they provide a good rubric for what – maybe not necessarily the age rating.
Yeah.
But for the types of content to warn about.
Right.
Look at you know, video game. Look at the back of video game. I know, physical video games. When was the last time you had one?
Well,
go to a GameStop.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that, you know, you can see these anytime you play something streaming. There's a little warning that comes up in the top left corner of my
and
screen.
It'll say, this game is rated blah, blah, blah.
This show has these things in it.
Yeah. And it'll say it has violence. And in the case, of course, all haunts have violence to a degree.
Yeah.
So I would say explicit or implicit violence.
Yeah.
Or graphic violence if it's going to be super gory.
So we should do E or I then. Explicit or implicit. We could just do E or I.
Yeah, there's a need to come up with a system, basically.
Yeah.
And to warn customers of the content in each haunt. Because you don't want people going into your very much violent, gory, adult-aimed haunt, you know, thinking it's kid-friendly. And since all haunts tend to market themselves as being super scary or super, you know, challenging to get through.
Mm-hmm.
That's super, you know, super fear and super exciting and all that. It's oftentimes very, very difficult to determine what is actually in a haunt.
It is. I mean, I never go going in. Mm. No going in. And
like,
you know,
we went to one haunt here in New Orleans. This was years ago, thinking it was a hell house.
Yeah.
And it turned out just to be a regular haunt and not a very good one.
No.
But not the creator's fault. Now that we know more about the history of it, we understand what happened. And oh boy,
yeah.
No one could have pulled that one out.
No, but the title was misleading.
The title was misleading. Name. The marketing was misleading. It was all religious themed marketing. So we're like, oh, we're going to a hell house and we're fine.
Yeah.
We've been to hell houses before.
Yeah.
It's a very unique style of haunting. I'm not one for the message for the intent of it, but it's a unique style of haunting, and you can learn a lot going through them.
Yeah, yeah, we've gone to one here.
Yeah.
Twice, two different years.
Yes.
Once we dragged friends along, we did not stay for the end movie.
No.
To the conversion movie.
No, we did not. We did not. I'm sorry. We are not your target.
No.
We're haunt. We went there as haunt reviewers. Like, nah, dog, we're good.
Yeah. Where's the quickest way out of here?
But yeah. But I think one of the things we need to do is find ways to maybe not even, if not standardize it, to kind of think about how we need to make, because like the rules you put out in front of your haunt are not standardized from haunts. But come on, we all know what rule one is. No running.
Yeah.
We all know that. Rule one is always no running. So even though we don't have quote unquote standard rules for haunts, we all know we have to have them.
Yeah.
We all put them out front. We all put them in the promotional material. We all put them everywhere we can. We need to find a way to do something similar to show, to describe the content in the haunt without giving spoilers.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's tough. I admit it.
And I'm honestly a little surprised that we haven't covered a story of a haunt being sued because they didn't
disclose something
in the haunt, and they were, you know, someone had PTSD and didn't respond well.
Or we haven't heard of an incident where a customer,
right,
you know, had an issue in the haunt, whether it was a heart attack or an actual, like you said, an actual triggering event where they might have become violent with staff.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of those warnings that you see for health risk are, I'm pretty sure that's lawyers talking.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the ones that you need to cover your ass, basically.
But these are the ones you need to make sure your customers have fun and know what they're getting into.
Exactly. And I'm, you know, I think that lawsuit is on the horizon somewhere.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And honestly, the haunt will probably win it.
Yeah.
But
it'll change it, the industry.
But that doesn't mean the haunt industry doesn't need to change to make customers more aware of the content they're getting into.
Right.
Because we're the only entertainment industry I can think of where customers have almost zero idea what they're going to experience before they go through it.
Yeah. I agree.
I think we're actually, because movies, video games, TV shows, even albums have parental advisory stickers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Albums and tracks have explicit warnings. So, you know, I mean, yeah, an explicit warning doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot, but it's something.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to us being such a small niche industry that, you know, lawmakers don't care about us.
Yeah, we fly under the radar, and we noticed that with COVID. We tend to fly under the radar of the local constabulary.
We were the afterthought for COVID.
Oh, God, haunted houses are going to open, and there's COVID around. And
yeah.
We're going to impose regulations after they opened.
Yeah.
That happened.
It did.
And that's what happens when you have an industry that flies under the radar.
Yep.
So, yeah, basically, when looking at explicit versus implicit violence, it's important to, whichever you're doing, no matter how intense it is, either direction, find ways to convey what the audience will be seeing and experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
They will ultimately have a better time because of it.
Yeah.
And you'll get the customers you want, maybe. And less of the problem ones. Well, I think that's all we have this time around. I know it's a bit of a weird episode because we don't have our live chat going this week. And also, due to illness, the notes we're a little bit less prepared.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say. But I think it was a good topic, an important topic, and I'm glad we got through it.
Me too.
Do you have any further thoughts on it?
No.
I think we covered it well. So definitely, once again, add a tally, because I am promoting us again. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. And we're at all the favorite podcast places. If you want a t-shirt, you want a mask, check out hauntweeklystore.com. No promo code this week because I was sick and forgot to set one up. See, this is what happens when I get sick. You don't get discount codes. Sorry about that. I'll make sure to have one for next week. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 265, talking about violence and haunting, or simulated violence and haunting, as the title is now, apparently. We will see you all next week, hopefully with a guest. This time I mean it. This time I didn't lose track of the weeks. See you then.
And that is it for today. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this was your Haunt News Briefing. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you catch our shows every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review in iTunes and share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was sponsored in part by Gantam Lighting and Controls. It was produced by me, Philip Hernandez, with post-production and editing by David Swope, and music provided by Chris Thomas. And if you want to be part of the conversation, join our Facebook group at Haunters Toolbox. If you have news or a story to report, drop me a line at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And until next time, everyone, stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.